Yo, hello everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Berlin Flowing. I think that's the name of the podcast. I might have forgotten because I haven't published anything for over a year now, even though I recorded some, but I never published them. And I'm going to check again with everyone who was very generous with their time to record with me, but I never had a chance to publish. So now back on track, hopefully. And with me today, I have Orkun. We did the first recording together 2 years ago. It was very non-planned recording.
Correct.
Yeah. And here is another round. It was the most listened to episode. Thousands of listeners.
Great.
So for all sponsors, you can reach out to us on sponsors@berlinflowing.berlin, probably. welcome again, Orkun. How was your day today?
Good. I cannot complain. So the sun was shining. That's something that maybe we are not so used to these days in Berlin, but it made my day. It's been a great day, and I'm happy to be back on this popular podcast of Berlin. Really looking forward to our conversation.
Cool, man. Same here. Last time it was quite well received, and I quite enjoyed it a lot. So looking forward for this one today.
Likewise.
Cool. So as you remember, the first question is, what did you learn about yourself in the last week or in the last few weeks?
What I learned, actually, I need to look back more often than I do with fair eyes, or like with a different perspective than I normally or I might have. What I mean, so I always thought comparing is not so great, but sometimes we need to stop and look back and then have some kind of reflection on our past experiences and see where we actually came from and how much we walked through up until today. And I learned that I really appreciate this, and actually it has some good impact on me and on my personal development, I would say. Mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, I was doing some travels in Latin America. There I had this, actually, the moment. Sometimes you have this feeling, it comes to you and then you stop and then you're like, this is good.
This is a good moment to start now.
Exactly. I felt like I need to take a snapshot of that moment and really carry it with me. Not just because I'm in traveling and this and that. Everybody loves it. Yeah, most people would love it. But it's not like that. It was just like, hey, look, I actually accomplished quite a lot of things that maybe was beyond my wildest dreams years ago. And it helps me quite a lot. I think when I'm really far from home, it gives me that the need for further reflection, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I decided myself that I'm going to do one of these like long distance trips solo moving forward in the upcoming years as well, mm-hmm. because it was quite transformative.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned this the other day in our conversation. You said that for you, traveling is not escaping or refreshing. Uh-huh. It's just kind of like giving you a different angle or perspective, so you can look from an external point of view.
Yeah, it's interesting. But a lot of people would associate traveling with like lack of structure, mm-hmm. or just like being free-spirited and doing whatever comes your way, which could be still fun. And don't get me wrong, I do have that part of my travels as well. But what happens when I think travel long distance, really, I feel like my perspectives change. Mm-hmm. So then I can look at my life somehow from outside, if that makes sense. And obviously, it doesn't mean that like everybody has to travel long distance to be able to reflect on their lives. But I think I realized that I really, really appreciate it. And the outcomes from these trips are not just Instagram photos, but also some really deep understandings and some further celebration mm-hmm. of myself and my life.
That's cool. Nice. And like when you talk about this like download or this moment of truth, or kind of like this like when probably time slows a bit and you're like pew, down the rabbit hole. So can you describe that moment? Like maybe give us an example when it happened and which context, if sure. that's okay?
So I wanted to visit these waterfalls in Brazil, and then I booked some flights before my trip. Everything was like either delayed or cancelled, but I really wanted to go there. And then I booked another flight, and I normally don't do this, but maybe the second time in my life, I simply booked randomly like wrong flight. Instead of a morning flight, I booked an evening flight. So then I was like, okay, it doesn't matter. It's just a small thing. I will book the third one. So I went to this waterfall in Argentina, and then people I talked to in Argentina, they were telling me I had too little time for actually visiting two different sides of this waterfall. Like partly this waterfall is in Argentina and then partly in Brazil. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to make it work. Yeah, still I have 10 hours. So I took a cab from Argentina to Brazil, and this guy was just like driving me through the border. You can imagine it's like a small border and everything looks a bit like, okay, where am I now? Right. Yeah, you think about that. I think when I was in the cab, and then I had this moment, like, where am I? Like, what am I doing? I'm in a cab from, I don't know, Argentina to Brazil to see this waterfall. And I'm really actually, like, I didn't know what this was. I was really motivated. I was like, I have to see this. And then in that very moment, I thought about, like, myself, like, as a, I don't know, let's say teenager. I always wanted to live abroad. I always had the idea that I would live a great life in London without knowing much about London. But that was a dream. But, you know, I think in that very moment, I had this feeling of like, hey, wait a second, where am I? And when I asked this question to myself, somehow the further reflection came. And then I didn't even realize that we arrived at the destination because I was constantly thinking like, okay, where, what am I doing right now? What is the next thing? Where am I in my life? So on and so forth. Does it make sense?
100%. Yeah. And like, do you get like, it's a voice or is it like kind of like aha moment where you're like, ah, or is it like your brain is thinking and then suddenly there is like.
Good question. For me, it's always, I feel like someone comes and drops some thoughts. I don't know, call it intuition, call it, I don't know, sixth sense, whatever that is. But I have this moments of having ideas that they are just like so strong. I cannot really avoid it. I also mentioned you when I went to, for example, Nepal, it was like the similar feeling. I felt like something came to me or someone said like, you need to go to Nepal and follow that. And it felt very nice and very helpful for my own journey to have this trip. Similar, in a similar sense, also in Argentina, I had the same, I don't want to say voice because I don't really hear the voice, but I feel like I have this thought, but it's so strong that I cannot get rid of it. And I feel urged actually to do something about it, either do something physically or like think further. I feel like that's a special thought.
Okay.
That's cool. The urge.
Yeah, very interesting. So for me, it comes in different contexts. So I don't need, like, actually, when I go away, I lose a bit, like, the depth of my thought. And then I really need to go back to it. And usually, like if I'm in my meditation routine or my self-care routine and so on, then suddenly through the day when I least expect it and when I'm not thinking much, just suddenly a thought comes to my brain. It's super clear. It almost comes with a light. Like, I see, like, and then, like, this is a thought now. And I'm like, wow, like this did not come from the system.
Yeah. So, but it doesn't happen when you are traveling. So you lose access to that.
Yeah, exactly. This is also one of the reasons, like, I don't enjoy just like going sightseeing and stuff. If I travel, I like to do like calm stuff, like sitting down in a cafe and just watching people for 2-3 hours, just like kind of connecting with them. And that gives me actually the calmness I need to let things through.
Interesting. Obviously, for me, it's not only when I travel that I have this sense, as I said, like when I had this idea to travel to Nepal, basically out of the blue, in the normal words, let's say. I was in Berlin, so I don't really have this, like the location attached to it. But I think what happens when I travel, especially further from home, then I feel like I'm really having this you know, bird's view on things, because we all reflect. I mean, I think, I hope we should.
For the best of humanity.
Exactly, for the best of humanity.
Please reflect, people, please reflect.
Exactly. But I think it makes it a bit different. Because like here, for example, I do have my own routine, and I'm a very disciplined person, and I like to keep things, keep my ducks in a row. And sometimes I realize that also takes quite some energy. And then when I travel, I'm not so like strict about these things. Yeah. So for example, here I do some sports every day, every morning when I travel. If it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. For some reason, I give myself that flexibility. I think when you have such flexibility, that also gives a bit more room for these kind of things. So that was also another learning, for example, from my last trip. So I need to be a bit more like, you know, it's good to have discipline and the structure. I mean, these things also made me who I am today. I love and appreciate these qualities. But you need to find a balance, obviously. So you need to find a balance, also give yourself some further room for these moments, for further creativity, for further inspiration.
Yeah, definitely. The other day I saw this sentence which says, "Don't forget to keep space for magic."
Yeah, that's a good one.
It clicked very well. So yeah. Regarding all the planning and our very aggressive lifestyles.
It's also like one of my common practices, or something that I do quite often. So sometimes, you know, people talk about like this manifestation tactics, or like how to, you need to write down what you want, you need to be very specific, or you need to think about these things or feel in the way that you want to feel. They're all great. But I always say, for example, when I'm doing such things, okay, I think this is the best for me, I'm really like aiming for it, or anything that fits my journey better. So to leave such room, even when we put some goals or like have some kind of dreams, manifestation goals, however you name them, I think it's quite important, because you really get yourself into this surrender state, and a bit more like, then you're becoming more receiving. Because we always think that we know the best about everything about our lives, and which is not the truth in my, you know, experience. We think we do know, our ego thinks that we know, but do we really know? You know, sometimes it's good to also surrender into the process, and as you said, leave some room for magic.
Fair enough. Cool. Nice. Good. And how about your body? What did you learn about your body in the last week? Especially now we're gym bros, right? So.
I learned a thing from you. If you want to stretch things, we need to make them stronger, the different body areas. I haven't actually fact checked on that. I counted on your knowledge, the piece of information that you shared with me.
I would not call it knowledge, but sure.
No, jokes aside, I think what I learned about my body, that it's maybe not what I learned, but I remembered once again. You don't really forget the things that you learned, obviously. And it's the same for your body. There's this muscle memory, right? Because when I was traveling in Latin America, in South America, I didn't do any CrossFit, actually, for 5 weeks or something like that. So when I came back to Berlin, I went to the box again. I could feel that there was a break. You know, that the moment that I came after the first training home, I had some client calls. I was thinking, how am I going to do this? I don't really have the energy. All I want to do is just like to nap. But it took me like a couple of weeks to come back to the same level that I had before. And constantly I was telling to myself, okay, Orkun, you have done this once. That means that's already enough proof. You already have enough proof to do it again. Like, that makes no sense. Okay, you will remember this. Your body will remember it. And luckily it did. So that was a nice moment to remember such thing. It's known, yeah? So everybody speaks about the muscle memory and so on and so forth. But to see it really, then you can easily come back to where you were before. It's also very, very nice to experience.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like challenging and appreciating your muscle memory, right?
Yeah, that too. That's main thing, of course. But what I want to say on top of that, I guess, somehow body related, but somehow maybe not. It's really this just like when you feel like that you're cornered somewhere. Mm-hmm. And always I think it helps me to think about there is someone either. First of all, I start with me. I have done this before. It's already enough truth or enough evidence for me to believe that I can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I haven't done this, I look around and it's like, okay, there is like one person who could do it. And how am I different? Like, why can't I do it? Like, I really sincerely believe that I could do that as well. And it really pushes me forward. And I would really recommend anyone who feels a bit cornered in life. Mm-hmm. It can be anything, basically. So you are not the first one. Whatever you're experiencing right now, you're not the first one who's experiencing this. That's a fact.
That's so, physically and emotionally.
Exactly. Right? So physically, emotionally, whatever that is, someone else went through this and also came out of it. Mm-hmm. And when you bring your perspective there, like to that, it feels really empowering, I would say.
And things can become easier.
Yeah, it's just like because then you're immediately, you're not in the solution territory, I would call it. Sorry, you're not in the problem territory, but you're rather in the solution territory, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, you're, if you can say like, okay, I cannot do this, I feel weak, I'm tired. Will I ever succeed in this? Or then you can say, I have done this. Now let's talk about the solution. Maybe I break things down into some steps. Or like if I haven't done it, who else did it? Yeah.
Cool. And like when people are a bit like kind of like self-cornered, like they try to look for solutions or try mm-hmm. to kind of like, I don't know, saying, hey, this is beyond my potential. This is beyond like, I don't know. Did you have such moments?
Maybe back in the days, I cannot really recall right now because I think what I live currently, my current mindset, like, really, when you do also quite some reflection, you can see that like you actually got whatever you wanted one way or another. And if you feel like this is beyond me, ask yourself, I would say, why do you think it's beyond you? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that you don't see in yourself initially, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you also don't believe that you can do it, you will never do it. I guess that's also there. Yeah, there's not much to say about it. To answer your questions, I cannot really say that like there has been anything I would say that I cannot do this. It's quite the opposite. Then I say like, I can do anything I want to do, but let me pick the ones that could be helpful to me.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of looking at it from a benefit perspective, right? What is in my...
Yeah, because like, I mean, we are all like living this life and that there's a reason for us to be here. And it's a journey to discover this. And I don't think there will be an end to this. It's like a evolving process, right? But always ask yourself, what can you learn in that very moment? If that makes sense. If you feel like, hey, okay, this is beyond me, and really try to understand what kind of inner saboteur is actually feeding those thoughts and you think that's beyond you, because as we discussed before, there is someone who did it. How come that you are not that person, or you cannot be that person? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, are you playing the victim? Are you, I don't know, avoiding some things? There are a lot mm-hmm. of different theories on that. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I would see this as a learning opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Makes sense. And also, like, the question is kind of like always, like, how bad do I want this? And that usually plays a big role. Like, maybe some things we just want it if it's easy, and if it's hard, it's not worth mm-hmm. it. And then, I don't know, maybe subconsciously we're associating it a bit with kind of like, I don't know, I cannot do it, but mm-hmm. actually I don't want to pay the price.
Yeah, sometimes also people, I guess, like want not having it because they like that narrative mm-hmm. and they like that character, and that feels quite comfortable. There's a saying that like a lot of people would actually choose known hells to unknown heavens. And I really like it. And I think it has some truth in it. Because it's easy, right? So like you say, like, hey, I want to now, I don't know, learn these new skills, but it's beyond my capabilities. And what I will do here, I will just like suffer in my own way. At least I know how to suffer. When I suffer, there are some people around me that give me the care that I need. I want to receive. All right, sure. Then just roll it again and again. But the question is, how far are you going to actually come with it? Yeah, probably not that far.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And like, do you see this kind of like common, especially in the coaching industry, as you're a coach for a while now?
What I see with most of my clients, I think like majority of them, there's always this like the strong. Like, we, first of all, okay, let me start with this statement. I think we need to be watching out our words more carefully and, you know, hear ourselves when we speak. When you constantly say that something is hard and hard and hard or difficult, whatever that is, you're not making it any easier, but you're just like conditioning your mind. You need to suffer. It has to be hard. Yeah. So that's definitely something that I notice. And to answer your question, through my coaching experience, yes, it's also like one of the common things. People say that they actually want change or need change, but like the reality, they just don't want to change things. And or like improve or try even.
Like they would like to change things, but they don't really want it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like, okay, yeah, it will be nice to have it, but that would mean that I need to do the hard work, and then I need to maybe face some insecurity, some further suffering. Mm-hmm. And no. And when you say no to that, obviously that you don't really want it.
And that like flips the scenario upside down, yeah. Right? Like, what? I don't want this, but I've been like thinking about this for years, right?
Yeah.
Is there something you could like kind of like give our audience also from a coaching perspective, just like a 1 minute exercise that can help them reflect on this a bit?
Obviously, these things are not to be solved, in my opinion, overnight. I'm pretty sure some people maybe did it overnight. I haven't seen that many, so I wouldn't promise much. But what I recommend most of the time, I tell people, hey, you need to actually watch out your language. Really, see, because our language tells a lot about our subconscious. But the things that you automatically say, like, it's hard, I cannot do this, it's but difficult, right? So see where, why do you have such limitation, and find out how can you come to abundance mindset. And this could start with, like, you know, changing simple things. Instead of saying that, like, hey, it's hard, but you can say, like, this is a process and I'm actually improving day by day. Even changing such sentence, like repeating it, it already prepares you for such change, and not being fixated on some certain outcome, but really enjoying the process and taking the best out of it. So this is like, watch your language. And the second thing, ask yourself, what domain are you on? Is it the problem domain or the solution one? And push yourself to the solution. It's an easy question. Like,
so by awareness.
Exactly. It's an awareness exercise by asking yourself, like, hey, okay, I'm speaking this with a friend of mine who listens to me all the time. I'm living whatever happened, let's say at work. I'm repeating to that person again. And that person listens to me and says, yeah, you're right. Where are we now? Is it like the solution domain or the problem domain? Don't get me wrong. I'm not looking down at the value of like these kind of exchanges. To some extent, I think they're helpful. But what I mean, really push yourself to the solution domain as much as you can do. Maybe start with small things, yeah? And then make an habit out of it.
Yeah, makes sense, yeah. And this awareness part probably is the first domino effect, right? And probably we can always ask our friends to hold us accountable. Mm-hmm. Like, if we cannot do it ourselves, then we can just pick one or two friends maybe.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, next time we're talking, I'm complaining, just ask me who
I want. Maybe the third thing in addition to this language and the problem versus solution domains, I would say also like have a look at your review your communities or like people around you or basically your circles. If you are in, let's call them negative circles, it gets more tough to get something transformative out of it, because you're bonded with these people based on negative experiences. You're just like talking about the negative things and you say, yeah, it's shit. And then they say, oh, okay, I have this shit as well. And then basically you are bonding over the problem. And if you have a lot of circles like this, and I think it makes it also difficult for people to come back to that, like the solution domain. Circles are important. I always ask also my clients, like, is there anyone who can support you in this process?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you want to do something, you think you cannot do it. And if you're in the supportive environment, obviously that you will thrive better or faster.
Yeah, makes sense. And I like what you said about like bonding, this like complaint bonding, because it works very well, especially like people in the same work environment. They share the same, they're in the same company. They maybe have like their best friend from the same company. Mm-hmm. And then they're just complaining, like we're just complaining by default, right? And then we start having this kind of like bonding. We have nothing to talk about except complaining about X, Y, Z, right?
I mean, we maybe make that statement, don't complain to your work colleagues so much. I learned my lesson back in the day. I'm not going to name a company now, but there was one company, literally everybody, almost everybody I remember from this company, for the time that I worked there, we spoke nothing but whatever, complaining about the things in the company. And that now I look at those times and I'm like, I think I was out of my mind, because there's no, like, I did get nothing out of it.
Let's call it like a time not well used. Rather than out of my mind.
No, but yeah, okay. So you can soften it like that, but it's just like you need to have those experiences. Obviously, don't get me wrong. You need to have such experiences also to have a benchmark, right? Because after I left this company and then having some break in between, I also realized that this is something that I would like to keep it to bare minimum. I don't need it.
Complaining part or the work complaining part?
No, we're complaining part. I mean, we are human beings. Like, we do say things from time to time. Like, say things that we are not so proud of. I don't think, like, you know, I don't aim for this 100% anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, let's be conscious about that. When you realize that you're complaining about something, and then ask yourself, how can I actually solve this? I think that's my new approach. But without my past experience, I don't think I would have such benchmark. That's what I wanted to say.
Fair enough. Cool. So to quickly like wrap it up for our audience. So one is being aware, am I in the solution mode or am I in the problem mode? It's okay to be in the problem mode, just being aware of it. And then slowly the solution mode will start arising, right?
Correct.
And then second is having someone that they can hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And then three is revisiting their circle and checking the type of bonding. Is it only complaint bonding, or is it kind of can be constructive? Because sometimes we think maybe that, hey, a friend can support me, but actually they can only support me when I'm complaining.
Yeah.
But they cannot really support me by holding me accountable, right?
So now you made one from one bullet, you made two, which is also good. And the first one was the language, yeah? So be conscious. Everything comes to consciousness, to be very honest with you. I think I would also recommend to anyone who's experiencing such things, when you increase your consciousness, then you realize things when they are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so valuable then to notice, oh, I'm complaining right now. Do you know what I mean?
Reducing the time between action and realization.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Cool. That's like, it's like really the core of everything, increasing consciousness and living more mindful life. And it doesn't really mean you need to wear this like white clothes and like walk very slowly and eat your soup very slowly.
Who are not a sponsor yet.
So it doesn't mean that like you need to, you know, walk, as I say, walk slowly, eat your soup slowly. I don't know, do everything super slow. By all means, if you're doing these things, great.
Thanks.
But there's more than that. Like, you know, really understand what's happening around you. Really be a bit more observant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more you do that, the more you realize And maybe you still fall into that trap of, let's call it, complaining trap, right? But you bounce back very quickly. And that's the beauty of it.
Because so fall in quickly, realize quickly, bounce back quickly.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
And then your life simply improves from there.
Cool.
Anyways.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The three Qs. Cool. Nice. Thanks. Thanks for sharing, man.
Sure.
Cool. And last but not least, what did you learn about life in the last week or the last maybe 2 weeks?
I was cleaning my inbox the other day. Was it yesterday or
work
the day
or
after?
Personal?
As a personal one. And sometimes I have this old-fashioned way of reminders. Now we have all the reminder apps, right? But what I do, I send myself an email. Shoot me for that.
No, I think it's a good idea.
I used to do that like for, I don't know, over a decade. And it stayed with me, although all these reminder apps are there. And I found this email that I sent to myself like 4 or 5 months ago. And it was something about like childhood abandonment. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's just like I read or watch, I don't even know where, like a sentence. And it says, like, when people, it's somehow connected to this archetype of an overachiever. So mm-hmm. I was like back in the day, like finding out why am I achieving a lot of things? Why did I need like 2 master degrees, 2 bachelor degrees, all the certificates? Like, nice, I learned some things, but I could have learned all these things without maybe having, yeah. But then I had this quote. It says that if you don't love me, you better need me. Mm. And then this made me reflect further. I don't even remember where I'd read it or saw it, but apparently it stayed with me and I said, okay, I need to think about it this further. And then that comes to like basically why someone might be, we are not diagnosing anyone here, but at least from my experience, I can say like when you don't feel so appreciated as a child, and then maybe not feeling loved in the way that you're designed to be loved. Also, let's put it this mm-hmm. way. And then you create these tendencies to actually do further and further and develop. And that's coming from the need of like, okay, as the quote says, if you don't love me, then you better need me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of takes over your life.
This is a proof.
Exactly. And then you try to prove yourself why people might need you, not only obviously this like work life, but also in the private life as well. You find partners
who might need you
further, and then it's still the overachiever thing, right? So then you're becoming, okay, I'm so conditioned not to be loved. I'm exaggerating now, so just for maybe for people to put some like have a better context. So if you don't love me, then let me do the work. So then you need me. You cannot leave me. You know what I mean?
That's a very deep one, man. It's a
hammer. It's a deep one. It's like, yeah, but it's a life. Life, you ask the question, what have you learned about life? And this is something that apparently I learned a while ago and I wanted to remember. And then I even put some note in my journal. I want to write further about it to like really nail it in my own way. So where is that coming from?
And also accepting it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that we need to love ourselves. I think the self-worth and self-love are so important. And when you are not loving yourself and appreciating yourself as you are without your achievements, and then obviously then you are walking on eggshells because it's very fragile, right? So like if you're just thinking that people will appreciate you when you have done something, because you would also appreciate yourself when you have done that thing or something even better, then it's a tough life. It's a tiring life.
Fair enough. Cool. Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
That's a very deep one. Cool. That was our last question.
Sure.
Maybe reflecting a bit back about like the 2 years ago, Orkun, what would you tell, what would you give that advice? Like if there's one advice you would give to that Orkun, what advice would it be? 2 years ago.
Advice. That's an interesting one. I would say really find out what makes you go and follow it no matter what and whatever people tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, because I think when we were recording the first episode, I mean, I've been coaching on the side and mentoring for years, but I was about to set up my own business and then work as a freelancer. That was the start of that.
Correct.
More or less. Mm-hmm. And then at that time I had some thoughts about that. Is it right for me? It's not. I knew deep down it was right. But I think, yeah, it's a good advice. Just like don't let people or society brainwash you and find your true like North Star and really follow that and do your best.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. And what would you tell Olkun in 6 months when he's listening to this podcast again? Because I will buzz you in 6 months again.
Yeah, you know that. Because like I'm not going to listen to it always the next week. And I always like to take some time and see. Let's see. What would I tell to myself in the next 6 months? I think it's pretty much the same, to be honest. I don't really... Maybe I lost this time concept. It's just like, follow your true North Star. I think this is really, really good one to pass on to the future Orkun as well. Because I believe that we all came to this lifetime with a purpose. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like purpose, maybe some people are allergic to the word purpose because they think it's only for companies. But, you know, we are here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell the future Orkun, like, work towards your dharma, they call it, right?
Or, that's correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Makes sense. Yeah. Work towards. Yeah, there's this like kind of like always the question, like, how can I find it? Where is it? Is it, I don't know, should I meditate to find it? Or should I travel to find it? And so on. And
it's in you, actually.
Yeah.
Like you always, to answer that, it's not a question, but I make a question myself and answer it. So I would say that really go to your, like, back in the time, childhood. Nothing that you have done as a child was, like, random. There is definitely a reason why you like the things that you like, and maybe some of the things are kind of shut down by the society, or some edges were like kind of how do you say it, like the edges are cut off.
Yeah,
let's put it this way. So really find out like what you liked and see how can you do more of that today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good way to put in. So how can I bring that those childhood moments, what I enjoyed the most when I was a kid, like, you know, you live freely.
Do you have an example or two about these things? Like maybe from clients or...
So I wouldn't share the client examples, but like what I can say, this helps to my clients 100%, by the way, when I say like, okay, what have you done really? And they would always like... come up with something and they will feel a bit ashamed, like, but you want me to do this now? I say, yes, I want you to do that right now, to have that creative flow, that childish thing that you had, and see what comes out of it. Maybe I can actually give one example anonymously. A colleague of mine, when I asked this question, she was like, I really like to play with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay. Then how can you make that work? She was like, what do you mean? I was like, but then play more with dogs. I mean, you have nothing to lose. And then she was like, okay, I can be a dog sitter. And then she did some dog sitting. And then last time we spoke and she was telling me, oh, it happened one of the ladies I dog sit was... happened to be a recruiter in a company that I wanted to work, and now we have a connection. So that's what I mean. Like, you don't know what you will have once you actually have the flow. And this podcast is also called Berlin Flowing, right? I think that's also a very spot on thing. Really find your flow and do those things that you really like as a kid. There was a reason behind it, and kind of lose yourself in that activity and then find your flow, and then be open to the magic, as we discussed before.
So maybe you don't become the most professional dog sitter, but something will open along the way.
You don't have to be. Exactly. I think we're just conditioning a lot of things. Like, you know, we give ourselves conditional love. If I done this, then I feel successful. Or if I this project and it's finished and I can put on my CV. Oh, maybe not. Maybe you don't finish that project. But halfway through, someone discover you for something else. Or maybe you meet the love of your life. Who knows? But just really enjoy the process. Find your flow.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, cool. Nice. Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
Speaking of which, today I heard this quote which says, God created the most beautiful gem in the world, like diamond in the world.
Yeah.
And especially for you. Okay. And he hid it in the last place you will always look for it, in your pocket.
Okay, that's a good one.
that's, with this, we shall end today.
Nice.
Orkun, how can people find you if they want to work with you?
So they can best find me on LinkedIn. So my name is Orkun and the last name is Eti, E-T-I. Write me on LinkedIn. Find me on my website. My company is called Enzo Transformative. You can also send me an email through my website. And sometimes I host some workshops people might be interested in. You can subscribe to my LinkedIn newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
cool. Nice.
Looking forward.
We're also going to do a bit of marketing here on our thousands of viewers.
Yes, great.
and maybe your coaching company can become one of our sponsors.
Maybe that's why I felt a bit excited. I was getting nervous when it comes to the marketing side.
Yeah, I understand. Like, with your background, marketing is... just for the listeners, Orkun is a marketing expert. In case also you're not looking for marketing, just for coaching. He's now doing coaching. Cool. Welcome. Thanks a lot. This was very nice. Looking forward for your feedback in 6 months when you listen to it again.
I also look forward to that, Rawat. Thank you very much. Cool. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Then, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Have a lovely week or weekend or whenever you're listening to this, or evening or day. And if you have any feedback for us, please reach out and you will hear from us soon. Ciao.